Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 16 Injury Report Edition. Merry freaking Christmas, 2 days away. Happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. It's always a great day to be great here on the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast and life in general, obviously. By the way, I'm your host, Ian Harditz. As always, joining me on this lovely Friday afternoon. By lovely, I mean terrible, but hey, good, always good to see you, my friend. Nick Botterford, PFF analyst. You see him all around the industry. My man is always grinding. Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, Ian. How you doing?
Ooh, I was getting some primary data done today. You know, it's a big, bad week of weather. I got an article on PFF.com talking about all the elements. We're going to go through some more, how to go out there, shovel some snow, you know, really get myself attuned to what my fantasy players are going to have to go through this weekend before setting those final starting lineups. So my big takeaway is, man, just fuck wind chill, man. I am so tired of it. That's a big part for me. Like, I can deal with the precipitation, the snow being a little bit cold, but not when comes, man. Maybe I'm just soft these days, but I do not know how people can put up with that. But it's done. Driveway's looking good. Dog's got a spot to walk in the grass, and I am feeling much better now that I am back in the warmth of my lovely Columbus, Ohio house. So with all that said, Nick, did want to update people on some of this hellacious weather we have for the weekend. I went through all these situations on Wednesday, got an article up on PFF.com. And if you guys didn't check that out, the main takeaway, winds are always the biggest problem here. But if we have mediocre winds, you know, 15 miles per hour instead of 20 plus, combined with, you know, sub-zero temperatures or feels like temperatures with a bunch of precipitation on top of that, guess what? We're not going to be feeling great about that either. So when I wrote my article, there were three main games that we had to worry about. The stuff in Cleveland, where we're talking 25, 30 mile per hour sustained winds, gusts up to 40, 50 miles per hour, as well as the game last night with the Jets and the Jaguars. As we saw, that certainly played a role in it. The third other game we've known we have to worry about all week long is the Bills at the Bears in Chicago. Feels like temperature of negative 10 degrees with sustained winds north of 20 miles per hour. So those were the main ones. And still, with the Cleveland Saints game, with the Bears-Bills game, though, those are concerning. Other than the quarterbacks in Buffalo and Chicago, because luckily we got Allen and Fields more than capable of running around, I do think it warrants, you know, dropping all these guys in the ranks. And Nick, I don't know about you, man. I want nothing to do with the pass catchers involved with the Saints and Browns, except for one. He's not really a pass catcher, and that man is Taysom Hill. I've talked to you, you know, throughout this year, we've gone back and forth on the ranks, and you were much more of a Taysom Hill believer than I was here, you know, say week seven, week eight. How far do you have him up the ranks this week?
I think he's just like a standard tight end one. His ceiling is certainly enhanced. Like, if they want to give him 10 carries, like, let's go. I mean, it's so much more reliable than anything else.
I started the week with him as my tight end seven. I think I'm going to bump him up a spot or two. Like, Dallas Goedert versus Taysom Hill. Are you taking Taysom over Dallas?
That's a really good – they'll probably be ranked right next to each other. What do you think of Taysom versus Juwan Johnson?
I'm going to go with Taysom because, again, Juwan, we need the reception stuff. I just don't trust any of the pass catchers in that game. So if we were playing this one in the dome, like, yeah, give me Juwan Johnson from that. All the dude is doing is catching touchdowns. So the way I have it right now, the only tight ends that I would start ahead of Taysom Hill, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, Dalton Schultz, and Dallas Goedert. So I would start Taysom Hill ahead of guys like Chigi Okonkwo, Pat Freiermuth, Dawson Knox, David Njoku, Gerald Everett, Darren Waller, amongst other guys. And honestly, Nick, like, like with a lot of these guys, it wasn't even super close because guys like Juwan Johnson have the brutal weather. Guys like Darren Waller, Pat Freiermuth are either playing banged up or getting eased back into action. We're not having the massive roles. Our guy Chicky Okonkwo having to deal with Malik Willis under center. All in on the Taysom Hill experience this week. Few other notes, because again, we started the week off with three main concerns, but two other ones have seeped into it, and probably should have started with this. I gave the man plenty of shout-outs on this podcast plenty of times, but Kevin Roth, A+, number one meteorologist in the industry and especially in our hearts here on the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. Go check out his stuff on rotogrinders.com/weather/NFL. He's on Twitter at Kevin Roth WX. So fantastic stuff from Kevin. Awesome little premium package on rotogrinders.com if you guys want to pay up for that. Otherwise, you can just look at his base meteorologist report like we are right now. So the two other games that Kevin is especially worried about comes down to Falcons at the Ravens, where yes, it's going to be freezing with the temperatures in the teens. Also looking at winds between 15 and 20 miles and gusts up to 20 or 30. So he adds that it's not quite the level of Chicago or Cleveland, but it is breezy enough to consider wind as a factor. So in this one, Nick, it is Mark Andrews there where it's just like, so tired of talking about this guy's possible potential turnaround each and every week because it has been so long. Literally, I think he's the only pass catcher from either team that I would recommend as a start. Drake London, someone that's going to be in that wide receiver three range, probably right alongside a lot of the Saints and Browns, you know, pass catchers that we aren't feeling good about. Anyone that you're overly trusting in the Falcons and Ravens contest?
So DeMarcus Robinson has just been a target hog on the perimeter, and that's where Tyler Huntley is aiming a plurality of his targets. There, Huntley's ADOT is between 7 and 8 yards, and that's exactly where DeMarcus Robinson's is, which, you know, that's not too far downfield. So I think that they can kind of take advantage of the Falcons' secondary. One thing that I've been trying to get into is just the direction of the field and the wind placement. PFF has a guy, or had a guy, Scott Spratt, who's done some wind studies where, like, if the wind is coming behind the guy, it's maybe not that much of a bad thing. But anyway, that's for the listeners to go dig up on their own.
That's some good stuff there, Nick. All right, the other game we got to worry about, Raiders at the Steelers. So, again, it's one of those things where in these matchups, I mean, we got the Ravens, Falcons, Raiders, Steelers, Bills, Bears, Saints, and Browns all being impacted. Out of all those, I think Mark Andrews and Stephon Diggs are the only pass catchers that are truly must-starts. I'm not telling you can't play a Cole Kmet if he's your only tight end option. Someone like DeMarcus Robinson, Drake London, Deontay Johnson. I'm not going to rank these guys as like my wide receiver 60, like to the point that you would never even consider it. That said, if it is anything like a close tiebreaker, an Adam Thielen of the world, maybe a Michael Gallup, someone that's just not quite as bad of a game, I am more than fine using weather as a tiebreaker. So just keep that in mind. The other contests that are being affected, but not it's not quite as bad as the other ones. Lions, Panthers, Bengals, Patriots, Seahawks, Chiefs, also the Texans and Titans, all getting yellow grades from Kevin. And then finally, Packers and Dolphins, just a low chance of shower, 10 miles per hour wind on Sunday, not expecting anything bad. I mean, if Miami was really going to screw us with bad weather while the rest of the country is going through all this stuff, that would have just been too much. So again, great stuff from our guy, Kevin Roth, over at Roto Grinders. And with that, Nick, let's go ahead and move on to the specific injuries. We have quite a few to talk about here in an always eventful Week 16 slate. First of all, the main one on the week, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts has been ruled out with that right shoulder injury. So Gardner Minshew, I talked about him a lot already this week, but he comes in as my QB 16. Basically the number one streaming quarterback available in most leagues. Now, I would still start guys like Daniel Jones and Jared Goff ahead of Minshew. I realize, though, that they are generally owned in 50-60% or more of leagues. So, Nick, when I say guys like Minshew, Brock Purdy, you know, Derek Carr, Nick Foles, Kenny Pickett, are you comfortable riding with Minshew ahead of all of them?
Yeah, I think I'm double checking right now. I think that I've got him as the quarterback 13. He's like okay, yeah, we're in the same area here. I have Purdy two, three spots ahead of him, but it's the Dallas defense. It's really tough, man. But I think Minshew, I think that he can point guard his way to a good day.
That's a good way of putting it. All right, Bills quarterback Josh Allen, still dealing with that right elbow ailment to an extent, but not listed on the final report, good to go. Only quarterback I would start ahead of him this week is one Patrick Mahomes. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson going to miss another week with that knee injury. We have Tyler Huntley listed as questionable, but John Harbaugh already confirmed that he will be the starter Saturday against the Falcons. So with Tyler Huntley, again, this has been a broken passing game for the Ravens. And this is honestly, I'm not here to slander Lamar. It's more so just a reality of this offense. The pass catchers before the season started, I think we all would probably say, was a bottom five group in the league. So what do you expect to happen when a bunch of those guys get hurt? When your team is unironically adding Sammy Watkins in December and people are excited about this, that is not good, everyone. So it's not so much an indictment on Tyler Huntley or Lamar, but unfortunately with Huntley, like, he's kind of in that Malik Willis range for me, Nick, where I have no confidence in either guy putting up any level of passing production. That said, theoretically, both these guys do run the ball enough to maybe get something going. So I'm not terrified of this matchup at all. I mean, some of the stuff in my mismatch manifesto is saying that yards before contact per carry, explosive run play rate, the Ravens, you could argue, have the best matchup on the ground all week. That said, Tyler Huntley, the lows have just been so low. So where are you settling in with Huntley, Nick? I'm definitely going to have Minshew ahead of him. I would probably lean Brock Purdy. I think where it gets interesting and where I probably would lean towards Huntley is against pocket passers with severe weather issues like Derek Carr and Kenny Pickett.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking at my rankings and I think I am higher on Huntley than you are, because I have Malik Willis as like a quarterback three. But I, all those guys that you just listed, we are in kismet here, with Huntley's right in the middle and, you know, Carr and Pickett are below him.
I'll skip down a little bit and talk about Malik just because we're on that topic. So I guess my reason for more optimism with Malik is hearing, what's the final report on Tannehill? Like, he's not expecting to play the rest of the year, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So to me, this is different than when it was a spot start where they were kind of hoping Tannehill could get out there back in week eight, and then he had the next start against the Chiefs, where those were always, in my mind, spot starts. Tannehill's back, the second he's back. I know we had the primetime game against the Chiefs, and, you know, we had Twitter going crazy about it, but I never considered this anything close to a quarterback controversy. Now that Tannehill's out, though, this is still a team of playoff aspirations. We're going to have the massive AFC South defining game coming up against the Jaguars. I'm well aware Derrick Henry with the four straight 200-plus yard rushing games against this group, but I really feel like, man, that if they have any hopes of getting going in these playoffs and achieving anything with this team, which I fully realize, you know, the chances of them making it too far in the playoffs with this roster are pretty much near zero. That said, I just have a hard time believing Malik's going to only be throwing the ball 10 freaking times like he did in the first matchup against these guys. So it's one of those, Nick, where, no, in one quarterback leagues, please don't start Malik Willis, Gardner Minshew, Brock Purdy, Tyler Huntley, all these guys I would have ahead of Malik. I guess I'm more so, if you can get Malik now, and like, what happens if we see Malik all of a sudden carry the ball 12 times, run for 80 yards like we know he's capable of, and not be a zero in the passing game? If anything, man, I'd like to be a week ahead of the public on Malik in DFS, and then also hopefully stashing him on that bench if you are in a quarterback conundrum, and then maybe having the better fantasy quarterback than real life that we're hoping for from the guy in week 17 and beyond.
I think all that's super fair. I like the points that you're making about kind of the difference in the point of the season and how the team might be approaching Willis's development, because they do need to see something from him like ahead of this year's draft. So I think all that's fair.
They're not going to get anything going. I mean, maybe they can against the Texans again. We've seen what Derrick Henry can do. But at some point, even if you're not going to be able to throw the ball well, you got to at least make the defense think that you have even a small inclination to try and do so. Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett is good to go after clearing the concussion protocol. Unfortunately, Cardinals quarterback Colt McCoy is not. This will lead to Trace McSorley under center, and that is incredibly bad news for these wide receivers. Again, we've talked about this before. Kyler Murray to Colt McCoy. Who do we want out there for the best of the franchise? Definitely Kyler. Who's the better quarterback? Definitely Kyler. Look at the legs and everything, but we're not talking about real life. When we move to fantasy, you could actually talk yourself into Colt McCoy not being much of a drop-off, because we're getting more volume. He wasn't as involved in the run game. And let's face it, at least this year, the passing numbers were looking pretty similar between the two guys. Now I'm throwing that out the window when we have to go from Kyler to Colt McCoy to then Trace McSorley, who does not have the same passing efficiency of these guys. And fortunately, he's got a little more Kyler than Colt in him when it comes to taking off and running, which is not going to be good for anyone other than the Trace McSorley business. So God, no, we do not want anything to do with the Trace McSorley business in his own right. How far are you dropping DeAndre Hopkins and Marquise Brown, though, Nick? Because for me, I have Hopkins settling in much more as a low-end wide receiver, too. I mean, someone like Brandon Ayuk, Mike Williams, I think I'm pretty freaking sure I'll be starting those guys ahead of him. Hollywood Brown, someone that I'm going to avoid touching at all, especially because he's even questionable at this point. So thoughts on what Trace McSorley means to these pass catchers?
DeAndre Hopkins is my wide receiver 20.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually pretty much right where I was thinking about putting him. So good stuff there. And with Marquise Brown, man, I think at this point he's questionable. I haven't, unless I've missed something in terms of like Cliff saying that he's going to be just fine. I mean, they're playing Sunday night, man. So I don't think you can even risk getting all the way over there and having any level of confidence. Yeah. So Marquise Brown, even versus guys like Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones dealing with this terrible weather. Like, yeah, it's terrible weather, but at least we know they're going to be out there on the football field. That is going to be rough. So yes, if at all you have a close start sit decision with Marquise Brown, please pick the other guy. DeAndre Hopkins, still a volume-based wide receiver too. We just don't have as much of a ceiling. And finally, Brock Purdy has had an extra time to get through that oblique injury. He is not listed. Multiple touchdowns in three of his extended appearances this season. Once again, Gardner Minshew, really the only, you know, readily available waiver wire quarterback that I would play ahead of Purdy. Appreciate our live YouTube chat, Pete, folks in here with us. Again, happy holidays to all. Our guy Cedric's wondering, Herbert or Fields with the horrible weather? Nick, I am still leaning Justin Fields because, again, it's almost like a blessing the fact that we have Fields and Josh. Like, we know what they can do running the footballs, in Fields' case especially. No Chase Claypool, Equanimeous St. Brown isn't going to be out there as well. He's just going to be more inclined to run the ball more than ever, and we've seen him do that at almost a higher level than any NFL quarterback literally ever. So for me, man, maybe I'm, again, being a little too trustworthy in those rushing floors, but I have it Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Fields, and then Justin Herbert, number four. So I would go Fields just ahead of Herbert, albeit I do have them ranked right next to each other. What say you?
Yeah, I've got Fields as the quarterback 3. I agree with everything you're saying about the weather, you know, creating a higher volume running day for him. One thing of note, the Bears placed cornerbacks Jalen Johnson and Kendall Vindor on injured reserve like an hour and a half ago. So, like, Buffalo, I know it's, you know, the weather is a problem, but like I think that the Buffalo passing game can get some stuff going against a recently decimated Bears secondary. So that's going to put the onus on Fields to get something done here.
Yeah, so you can argue Herbert's the more safe guy because he's not playing in weather, but that Colts defense is, especially against the pass, not really a unit to mess with. I mean, we saw Herbert last week dud because he doesn't run the ball as much as some of these other guys. So again, it's a very good problem to have. If you want to roll with Justin Herbert over Justin Fields, again, we're talking about my QB3 versus my QB4. I'm not going to call you an idiot. I would hope you don't call me an idiot if it ends up going the other way, but that's just how fantasy football goes sometimes. Week-to-week league, as they would say. At running back now, 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey, good to go, not listed with that knee issue. Jordan Mason was a late week addition. So look, you're firing up McCaffrey anyway, but I would just say with Mitchell on IR, with Debo Samuel out, and now with Jordan Mason as a hamstring, you know, potential late week addition, CMC now has the legit every down workload that he had in Carolina on top of all the schematic and offensive line goodness that we were hoping to see in San Francisco. Also, good news for all you Nick Chubb fantasy managers. Did not know what was going on with back-to-back DMPs to start the week, but he's not listed on the injury report. Good to go for Saturday. Sure would make a lot of sense if they feed him the ball as much as possible in that terrible weather. Seahawks running back Kenneth Walker and DJ Dallas questionable with ankle injuries, but head coach Pete Carroll has already said both are expected to play through their ailments. I have Kenneth Walker as my RB13 on the week. I still think he profiles as someone with 15 to 20 plus carries on his plate any given day. And yeah, the pass game usage isn't amazing, but man, it's one of those things where we kind of hold everyone up to that McCaffrey like level of usage. And guess what? Nobody's really going to get that other than Christian freaking McCaffrey. So with Walker, he actually ran a route on a higher rate of his quarterback's dropbacks than Austin Eckler did last week. So I get it. Targets need to happen on those dropbacks and routes for it to actually matter for fantasy points. But Nick, with Kenneth Walker, again, I understand against the Chiefs, they've been better against the run than the pass this year, but this is one of the only games of the freaking slate, probably the freaking month, that's actually flirting with that 50-point game total. Thoughts on Walker? Because I saw you rolling your eyes, man.
No, I'm not rolling my eyes. I'm nervous. I don't like that he wasn't able to practice at all, I don't think, this week. Travis Homer, as I recall, and I haven't looked at this since Sunday, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think Travis Homer took every passing down snap in the game last week. And so Kenneth Walker, like, we have running backs like Joe Mixon that get these high volume workloads. They don't necessarily get passing down work, but they still run routes. Like, that's fine. We can win with that. That's kind of what Walker is getting, though. And in this game script where it's, I mean, I think KC is going to be playing with a lead. I'm downgrading Walker both because of game script, because of role, and because of the foot. Now, that said, I still think you probably need to start him. I've got him as like, oh God, this is another Kamara thing where I don't even want to talk about this, because it's like he's in the RB20s for me, and I don't like it. I don't like it. But man, it's just, I don't like the factor, the all of the variables here. There are a lot to take note of, but I am saying, like, I don't think you should start Latavius Murray over him. Okay. So, you know, we know how good he is. He just makes me a little bit nervous.
Hey, to your credit, man, I just pulled this up. You had Kamara RB25 last week, right?
It was 25 or 26.
He finishes the RB25 last week. So good job by you, Nick. I'm just going to be taking a lot more of those Walker touches. So luckily, the Seattle offense doing a little better than the Saints, but fair play to you. He's a rock solid RB2. I think your point about Latavius makes sense. When we start looking at guys like Latavius Murray, like Zach Moss, AJ Dillon, and those types, please, for the love of God, play Kenneth ahead of them. I say the same thing for Alvin Kamara, amongst others. Okay, Dolphins running back Jeff Wilson officially questionable with his hip injury. If there's another good question, if Jeff Wilson is once again sidelined, which, you know, we will have to wait and see on Sunday. This is the problem, man, because we have all these Saturday games before then. So I guess, how confident would you be in firing up Raheem Mostert, even if Jeff Wilson returns? Because we're going to have a lot of people that have running backs all throughout Saturday that are available. And if Jeff Wilson comes back, I would think things could be closer to a 50-50 split, albeit I still would be heavily favoring Mostert to be the more fantasy viable back. So when I say Mostert versus guys like David Montgomery, J.K. Dobbins, Najee Harris, would you just be taking more of the sure points that we know are going to be there on Saturday, or risking Mostert maybe having to have more competition with Wilson on Sunday?
I would take Najee Harris, J.K. Dobbins over Raheem. And then I think the Khalil Herbert's return maybe elevates Raheem Mostert over David Montgomery. Fortunately, the Green Bay defense, I'm just trying to get to the run defense stats here, but not that great. The Sunday thing that complicates, what always scares me about Raheem Mostert is more so his like brittle nature. And if you've ridden him this far, like, you know, just don't even think about that. I think you start Raheem Mostert, even if Jeff Wilson is active. What was Wilson's practice status? Oh, Lil LP all day. Every practice was LP. Yeah. I think you're fine with Mostert as like a low end RB2.
Yeah, when you don't even see the guy get up to a full practice, even if Wilson's going to play, hard to think he is back at 100%. So good stuff there. Some of those running backs we just mentioned that do, in fact, not happen to be listed on the final injury report: Najee Harris, AJ Dillon, and Aaron Jones, all good to go for their respective Week 16 matchups. We also have Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson, technically listed as questionable, as is Damian Harris, but with Stevenson, seems far more like maintenance and just Patriots being Patriots here. So regardless of if Damian Harris suits up, we're firing up Ramondre Stevenson as a locked-in RB1. He's got the pass-down work for it, regardless of if Damian comes back. And we've even seen some of these games where Harris has been in and out of the lineup, and Stevenson has still led the way on the ground, even with a somewhat healthy of Harris out there. I am not certain that we're going to see a more healthy Damian Harris out there. Keep on starting Ramondre Stevenson. Commanders running back Antonio Gibson, not listed, but it's just such a brutal matchup for him and Brian Robinson against Nick Bosa and company. Really would try to go with any other options you have for that spot. Broncos running back Latavius Murray is questionable with a foot injury. I believe this was actually a midweek thing. Did you see that, Nick?
I didn't, but what is with all these running backs and foot injuries? I've never seen so many.
Okay, so it wasn't a midweek thing. He started off the week as limited with the foot, but then he went down to a DNP on Thursday, and he only got back up to a limited practice on Friday. So certainly not ideal there. We did see, you know, their free safety, Kwon Williams, follow the same practice participation. God, the weather is just ruining my vocabulary now. This is fantastic. But different injuries and stuff. Again, Latavius Murray, I know I've been critical of him throughout this year, and he's had performances like last week where he's proved that even bad running backs can be just fine in fantasy when you're getting 20 plus touches. That said, if we're not going to take an injured version of a bad running back, and Nick, it's just, and it's on Sunday too. That's the other thing. We're not going to have Aaron Donald in this game. I'm saying some mean things here, but like Latavius Murray, if we knew he was going to play, I'd be willing. I think I have him RB 24. So like I'm calling him an RB2. I've admitted to it. He's a volume-based RB2. But when he's banged up like that, Nick, I think we're going to have to side with some other guys that are ranked around there that we just don't have the same injury concerns about. So someone like Najee Harris, someone like J.K. Dobbins, even a David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, I think I'm forced to start all those guys ahead of Latavius.
I definitely agree. And I'm really high on Najee this week, for the record, with the matchup against Las Vegas. But yeah, I think Latavius Murray, I think if you added him, you probably needed a running back. And so like, you know, go ahead. What are you doing with Marlon Mack? He's got the passing down role. Do you trust him?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just a slight little ding to Latavius and doesn't make things any easier, but it's been a nice little story with seeing Marlon get back out there. But again, we're talking about the league's single worst scoring offense here. So even facing, you know, a slightly reduced and not even slightly, a majorly reduced Rams defense without Aaron Donald, still not enough for me to call any of these guys, you know, true recommended starts. Move on to wide receiver. Not a ton of, you know, outlying issues here. I think most of these guys are already in and out, but we got a few things to talk about. So T. Higgins, good to go. Got in that final full practice of the week and not listed. Fire him up as his usual rock solid wide receiver two self. We do have Tyler Lockett out with a hand injury, and Marquise Goodwin is questionable with wrist and ankle issues. That said, again, head coach Pete Carroll said on Thursday that he does expect all his questionable players to eventually suit up. So Marquise, for me, more of a boomer bust wide receiver four. Metcalf, though, locked in as a top 10 receiver. Are you higher on Marquise Goodwin, Nick? I know he's had some solid performances this year and the matchup is winnable enough, but man, you take him obviously working out a little bit less than 100%. Weather isn't ideal in Kansas City. Like, where do you fall on Marquise Goodwin versus Donovan Peoples-Jones and Cooper, who are obviously dealing with way worse weather?
I would take that's a great question. I think I would take the Cleveland wide receivers over him. What I don't like with Goodwin, and I just what I don't like with Goodwin was he was a full participant with a wrist injury, suffered an ankle injury Thursday, and then didn't practice on Friday. Pete Carroll, who just believes all of his players can heal instantly, says that he's going to play. If I had written the DFS cheat sheet, which we didn't do this week, if I had written it, Seattle wide receiver Dariq Young would be my long shot weird guy play against Kansas City. So take that, you know, as you will.
You got another one those last week with Rashid Shaheem, man. Kings, I know. Kings. 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel out with the ankle and knee issues. And I just think it's a good reminder, man. Like, I saw Brandon Ayuk as a top 20 receiver this week. I know he dudded last week when Kittle got going, but without Deebo in there, it does condense things just enough where, hey, it's still McCaffrey, Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk there. We're going to see some Juwan Jennings, even some, you know, Ray McCloud goodness going on here and there. So I'm not saying it's always going to be a situation where all these guys are balling out. Look at Philly, you know, AJB, Devontae, and Dallas Goedert. You'd always see one of those talented guys dudding because when you have a run first offense, they're not going to throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns every game. So don't let one disappointing Brandon Ayuk game distract from the fact that he's got this winnable matchup here and should continue to see a bit more volume without Deebo. already talked a little bit about Marquise Brown and these Cardinals wide receivers without Trace McSorley. So again, Hollywood is officially questionable and not playing until Sunday night. So man, unless we hear something tomorrow morning saying he is 100% good to go, the questionable thing is a government conspiracy, I just am not going to be getting behind Brown. I would be highly doubtful of that playing out. We do not have many, if any, Bears wide receivers still employed by this team at this point. Claypool is doubtful with a knee. Equanimeous St. Brown out with a concussion. Please do not play those guys by any, obviously not them because they're out. Don't play anyone in the Bears passing game if you can at all help it. I was meant to say this before and I got caught up with something else, but I agree with your general sentiment that the Bills can maybe still put up some passing yards or at least try to. Like Stephon Diggs for me, he's not a top five receiver. He's still a top 10, though. You better have an unreal lineup to warrant putting that guy anywhere near the bench. And let's face it, we had that game last year where Mac Jones threw the ball like three times with the 40-50 mile per hour wind gust. Josh Allen and company were still, you know, pushing 30 pass attempts in that game. It's in their blood, man. They're going to throw the football. They're going to keep throwing the football regardless of what Mother Nature has to say. Saints wide receiver Chris Olave out with a hamstring. Jarvis Landry on IR with the ankle injury. So Nick Underhill, who I consider one of the better beat writers in all of the NFL and the world for that matter, he does fantastic stuff for the New Orleans Saints, and he has a website, neworleans.football, you guys should check out. So again, he said that he's not going to get insider information from Dennis Allen about what their game plan is going to be. But if Nick believes this could be a full Taysom game, and maybe you say never go full Taysom, whatever your mindset is on that, if the Saints want to go full Taysom, we should be paying attention accordingly in fantasy land. So legit upside tight end one this week. Come on. Come on, Taysom. I've never been cheering this much for this dude. Do not break my heart in the fantasy finals, man. Home league, Nick. I'm trusting Taysom. Why the hell not? Steelers wide receiver Diontae Johnson, officially questionable with a toe injury. He's been one of these guys, more so been a hip injury, keeping him on that injury report. But it is concerning because it is a Saturday evening game with a bunch of them going before. As we talked about with our weather intro, this is a game that has been downgraded to the yellow-orange territory by Roto Grinders Kevin Roth. He's actually coming off his two best games of the season, Nick. So I still think he's a volume-based wide receiver three play if healthy enough to suit up. That being said, it's not a given that he is going to be suiting up. So anything at all close with Diontae and another wide receiver three type talent, I would go with the other guy. That seemed fair.
Well, it does, because these two great games were with Trubisky, right? Yeah, like now they're going back to Pickett, who for whatever reason can't throw the ball well to Diontae. So yeah, I agree. And I would pick the other side.
And Diontae was the one calling for Mason Rudolph. Like, bro, Trubisky's the one getting you the ball. Give the man some credit. Titans wide receiver Treylon Burks, questionable with a concussion still. He practiced in full all week. Either way, not a recommended start due to Malik Willis under center. With the Texans, Nico Collins on IR, he's done for the season. Brandon Cooks is questionable with his calf injury, and Chris Moore is also questionable with the foot injury. So if Cooks joins Nico on the sidelines again, I am down to fire up Moore as this volume-based wide receiver three that he's honestly been here over the past 2-3 weeks of action. I would never confuse my mans for Amon-Ra St. Brown in terms of talent or anything like that. Although you start taking away a bunch of players from the offense, Chris Moore is seemingly the last man standing that they are down to feed the ball. So I do think he warrants volume-based wide receiver three play if active and if Cooks is sidelined. Cowboys wide receiver Noah Brown, not listed with the foot injury, but don't go chasing those two touchdowns. It does sound like T.Y. Hilton will be making his Cowboys debut. Certainly does seem like Brown's going to be the one on the, maybe not the outside looking in. Like, I still think he'll probably be the number three wide receiver in this offense, starting more times than not in three wide receiver sets. But T.Y. is certainly going to cut into that route rate specifically. With the Broncos, Cortland Sutton questionable with a hamstring. Kendall Hinton is out with a hamstring injury. So once again, it's a Sunday afternoon game. Nick, Jerry Jeudy, if we do see a situation where Cortland Sutton returns, all of a sudden we're not getting as much guaranteed volume, and it's not a wonderful matchup against Jalen Ramsey and that secondary. I know Ramsey's been down this year. I'm not expecting a shadow matchup, but it's not a complete layup. That's all I'm trying to say. Thoughts on Jerry Jeudy with Sutton potentially returning?
So I was too low on Jerry Jeudy last week. I think ultimately he will just sort of fluctuate in the wide receiver three range, depending on Cortland Sutton's availability. I don't know if he should like fluctuate. Like maybe he just should be a high end wide receiver three because Sutton doesn't seem to be able to command targets. But yeah, right now he's my wide receiver 28, and I agree that the Rams secondary has performed a lot better than the narrative around them seems to be.
With Sutton, he didn't even get a full practice in at any point this week. So as we were just talking about, we tend to think that he's going to be on potentially the wrong side of questionable there. So I have GD as my wide receiver 28. I might bump him down just a spot or two. But basically, he's one of the last wide receivers that like I would play ahead of the really good wide receivers that are unfortunately stuck in some of these really bad weather games. Patriots wide receiver Devontae Parker out with a concussion. Jakobi Meyers is questionable with a shoulder, but we're expecting him to play. Tyquan Thornton, late addition to the injury report, questionable with a knee injury. All that to say, Nelson Agholor, 3.3K on DraftKings. Sign me up as a punt play. Please, though, don't play any of these guys if you can at all help it with your redraft playoffs on the line. I mean, Jakobi, I don't think he's going to be doghouse necessarily. He's been too big of a factor for their passing game over the past 2 years. But again, it's just not going to be good weather there. We've seen Mac Jones just couldn't get to 150 yards against the Raiders. Like, you know, he missed Jakobi Meyers like a 30-yard wide open seam route. And it's just like we still want to blame Matt Patricia for every single miscue that happens on this team. I did not have my bingo card as becoming a Matt Patricia defender as the season went on, Nick, but here we are sometimes. I mean, my goodness, man. Like, it's certainly part of the problem. Everyone in New England's part of the problem there, but the fact that Mac Jones just seems to be getting such a break with playing like a terrible – I mean, come on. I don't love the whole Trevor Lawrence thing where people are like, oh, I was always here on the bandwagon while everyone else hopped off, and it was like – I don't know. The guy played like dog shit the entire last season. He wasn't good for long stretches of the first half of this season. What are we supposed to say? Just completely ignore it and only wait till he's good? Just with Mac Jones, he's been playing terrible. Hope he plays better. I have a hard time believing that one single coach is the full reason why this Patriots passing game has gone from pretty good to terrible. Buccaneers wide receiver Julio Jones, questionable with a knee injury, only going to be a boomer bust wide receiver 5 if healthy enough to suit up. Zach Pascal, questionable with a concussion, only really matters for Quez Watkins. Final few notes before we get going here, guys. Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert, not listed with that shoulder injury. We kind of talked about him a little bit at the top of the show in regards to that Taysom Hill discussion. But Nick, are you with me there where, again, Kelce, Andrews, Kittle, Hockenson, Schultz, and I think I'm leaning into Taysom Hill. I think we're going into that. Those would be the guys I would start ahead of Dallas Goedert. Anyone else that you think, or are you even higher on Goedert?
Yeah, I think I put Goedert back into the top 5. I've got him ahead of Schultz by a fair bit there. I was high on Goedert last week. I was ready for him to rock last week, so I don't see any issues here.
Bengals tight end Hayden Hurst out with a calf injury. Mitchell Wilcox did find the end zone last week, but just expect most of the pass game volume to go through the wide receivers. He's nothing more than a thin tight end 2 at best. David Njoku's knee is fine, but the weather is not. Please don't play him if at all possible. Seahawks tight end Noah Fant, again, expected to play through that questionable tag. Just an issue where, you know, who knows when Will Disley is just going to randomly get more targets than the man. Oh, man, God, I love those Seahawks tight ends. Colts tight end Kylan Granson has this ankle issue going into Monday night, more of a showdown thing where maybe you could be more inclined to fire up Mo Alie-Cox or Kylan Granson, or Jelani Woods. None of those guys are going to be realistic redraft fantasy options. And then I did see Noah Gray popping a little bit in some of the ownership, and that is because Jody Forson is out for the Chiefs with an elbow injury. So any of you D-gens sticking to the DFS cheap tight end waters, you could do worse than Noah Gray in tournament lineups. And yeah, Nick, my only other note was Aaron Donald being out, and we already talked about that for Latavius Murray. So great day to be great, everyone. Week 16, one more game away from all of those sweet, sweet championship performances. Nick, you've been grinding content all week, all season long. We all thank you for the hard work. Let the folks know what you got going on ahead of the semifinals.
Cool. Yeah, we got the Monday morning recap, 5 things we learned at the 33rd team. 4 for 4. We have streaming defenses, special teams, starts and sits, full positions there. And then this week at PFF, only did the wide receiver cornerback matchups to target and avoid. Didn't do the DFS cheat sheet, but that'll be back on track next week.
Great stuff. I am quickly going through the most recent news. Derwin James is expected to play. That's not good news for Nick Foles and company on Monday night. We are going to have Cole Beasley once again in action for the Bills, and we already talked about that. Beyond Stephon Diggs, tough to be trusting really anyone going on there. And I think that is about it. So once again, thank you all for tuning in with us throughout the season. And yeah, guess what? We'll be back one more entire week with some other stuff on the way. But just in terms of in-season grind, you guys know the schedule. We'll not be having actually the Sunday night games. You know, Dwayne McFarlane and I love each other, but we also love our families. So, you know, trying to do a Christmas pod, I do not think would be viewed all that wonderfully by the McFarlane and Harditz household. So I'll be back with a quick solo pod on Monday, breaking down the key usage takeaways. Back with my guy Nathan Yonke on Tuesday, covering up some of the injuries and waiver wire goodness for those still interested. Another solo pod on Wednesday, breaking down any cool shit I've learned along the way. And then back with my guy Nick next Friday, going through the injury game. And as always, on PFF.com, if you're more of a reader still in the lovely year 2022, we'll have you covered with all that and much more. So for Nick, I'm Ian. Thanks so much for tuning in to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. And until next time, take care, everybody.